Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello, and welcome to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This episode is going to be a little bit different. It's actually just a re-release from another podcast that I was on. We love the content, wanted to make sure you got it. If you like this content, we actually dropped the show just in the show notes below, so you can go check out all of their content. But for now, I hope you enjoy this episode of Scrappy ABM.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to What's Your Process? Today, I'm joined by Mason Cosby, founder of Scrappy ABM. It's very exciting to have you. How are you, Mason?
Peter, I'm good, man. I'm excited. I'm going to time date us real quick. We're recording this a week of Thanksgiving. We were talking about brisket. So like, I'm going to not be having a good time.
I mean, yeah, we could record two episodes, one on the topic and one on brisket, because I think there's a lot to cover in the process of brisket, truth be told.
Yeah, you're telling me, man. I've been thawing for 3 days and I'm about to start prepping literally today for a cook that's on Wednesday that's supposed to be eaten on Thursday.
I'm jealous. I cannot wait. I've got... Like the fact that you're just doing this on Thanksgiving is so amazing. It's like my brain is like low key warped in terms of like, what do you mean you're not serving turkey? I love it.
Why? Turkey kind of sucks.
You know, I believe that for a long time. And I feel like since playing around with the smoker a bit more and like, I feel like I've unlocked the turkey. But that said, there is no turkey on the planet that will ever be as good as a brisket. So you win automatically. No.
Well, I appreciate it. Everyone can be envious and I'll be thankful for my brisket.
Your brisket. But let's jump into this. Mason, what do people need to know about you?
Yeah, I run a company that's focused on how to build the first successful ABM program in an organization. And I think for the purposes of our conversation today, that's probably the most important thing. And then the only other thing for context is it's been a wild journey of, I mean, Scrappy ABM was launched in like July of 23 and we're about to pass 2 million in sales in like 16, 17 months. So truly at the end of the day, the only reason we've been able to do any of that is simply because I actually hired a team of people that are genuinely smarter than me, which is actually the really fun part. Like most agencies, you know, you're like the founder and then like, you close and then you get a bait and switch and you never see the founder again. And you're like, oh, I got a bunch of people that like kind of suck. And I still do a bait and switch. They're just better than I am, which is awesome. So I'm really thankful for the past year. I'm thankful for people that have put their trust in our organization. I'm thankful for people I've been able to hire. So I've been really reflective the past week of just like how wild this journey has been and thankful for it. So hopefully that's what you need to know about me. Run a business, hire people way smarter, and if you need help with an ABM program, we can help you out.
That's amazing. I love the mutually beneficial bait and switch because this might be the first one in history. But it's a great point, right? Like oftentimes you do have these conversations and everything sounds great and everything looks great. And then all of a sudden the person you were most excited to work with is out of the picture. And like the fact of the matter is, one, I know you're not out of the picture, but two, like to be surrounded by a crew of people that are constantly pushing each other and learning from one another and really just striving to get better. That's what it's all about. So well done, because even I could tell you from my perspective, still sitting here by myself, like as a one-man show, I do miss having a team. I do miss working with people that are smarter than me. I do miss everything you're like talking about here. So I think you've probably cracked the code in a different kind of way.
We can see. We'll find out. Let's talk about the process.
Listen, if you're closing this much, the process clearly works, but yes, we should absolutely do that. Jason, what is one thing you are world-class at?
I'll talk more about what Scrappy ABM is world-class at than me personally, but it is like actually meeting a client where they are today, getting a lay of the land, and then actually prescribing them a realistic first ABM program that gets it launched successfully. The big things that we're really focused on, it's a core value, like meet clients where they are, but don't leave them there. I think I've worked in agencies and I've worked with agencies that built this quote unquote strategy that was like this pie in the sky. I was like, if everything was perfect, this would be the exact. And like, it never pans out. So our goal is like build for the client's reality, help them where they are today, get a program running, prove that it works, and then reinvest inevitably to scale it.
I love that. I love that. Like, solve for today, but also focus on tomorrow and make sure that you're creating the path for success to get there, right?
Yeah. Another phrase we use a lot is like, yes, we should be thinking long term, but like the long term doesn't get here if we don't deliver in the short term. So how do we deliver in the short term and set a foundation for long term growth and success?
That's really cool. That's a great line. I'm absolutely stealing that. So thank you for that one. So how does one get started, right? Like, and I know the answer is obviously give you a call, but if I was looking to get started with my first successful ABM program, like where does it all begin?
Yeah. So for the rest of this episode, to be super clear, like I'm not going to pitch. For quick context, I don't actually know that I can take on new clients until like February or March. I'm recording in November. So truly, don't call me right now. If you need to get started ASAP, go listen to the podcast. There's a lot of great resources there on the Scrappy ABM podcast. So that said, here is the actual step-by-step process. And I actually go into way more detail on UserGems Masterclass. If you go to usergems.com under the resources tab, there's a masterclass that's called Scrappy ABM Masterclass. It's 2.5 hours, and where I walk in excruciating levels of detail on this front. But first step is identifying why ABM might fail in your organization. When you look at that, there are a lot of data-backed reasons. And the top four that I'll call out are like sales and marketing alignment. This comes in a couple different flavors, but this is not a joke. Develop a glossary of language for your organization. People make that joke, but like, I can't tell you the number of people that I've talked to. It's actually every person that I talk to. It's like, yeah, marketing like delivers kind of crappy leads and sales is, and then marketing says like sales isn't actually doing anything with the leads. And when sales says, I need more leads, what they meant is I need opportunities that are hand raisers in my pipeline. Marketing heard I'm going to go get more leads. And then they updated the contact property in HubSpot to say leads, which is a contact generated through like any form fill on a white paper. So like marketing's like, yeah, we got all these leads. And then sales is like, where are my leads? And like, we use the same word, but mean different things. And as a result, we're not speaking the same language. Mm-hmm. It's like fundamentally, that's what that looks like. A glossary of words and what that means in your organization is actually really helpful. Half of the work we do is just definitions, okay. Like truly like, oh, cool. Now we all speak the same language. The other thing that marketing can't solve for, but is a component of alignment, is compensation. So we've actually seen quite a few clients in which the right business decision was to go after a specific audience or to do a cross-sell program or whatever that function looked like. But sales wasn't compensated to actually do what was best for the business. And as a result, I kind of make this joke of like, if we built a comp plan that's aligned to business objectives and we built a marketing program that's aligned to business objectives and they don't align, one or both is broken. Yep. So we've got alignment. We've got a lack of resourcing. So functionally, somebody might listen to this podcast when we get to later stage and they'll ignore this part. So please don't ignore this part. And they'll say like, oh, ABM is amazing. We should go build an ABM program. And they'll throw it like marketing manager Susie and like just say, Susie, go build an ABM program. Couple of things. Susie already had a day job. So to just throw a cross-functional program that requires organizational change as like a casual bullet point on her job description, probably not going to work. Because what often happens is they'll just throw it at something, but they won't take anything away from their responsibilities. So just pile on. And as a result, they literally don't have the support or resourcing to get it done successfully. And they may end up just not doing it, and then they'll get fired. I mean, I've had that happen to friends where like they just had ABM thrown at them and they lost their job because it didn't get done. So there's that. So make sure if you're going to do it, you need to have executive buy-in and sponsorship, and they need a team of tacticians that can go and do it. But like they need a place to go when it's not working so that then the executive team can say like, well, why isn't this working? And then they can problem solve it. You can't expect a marketing manager again to address sales comp. It's not a realistic expectation. Next is the measurement of success. So if you don't know how to measure the program or you leave everything the same, you're not accounting for the nuances of an account-based program. Most things are based on lead metrics. It's like HubSpot, for example. Keep using HubSpot as an example because that's what we're in. Native lead scoring capabilities, not native account scoring capabilities. So like just out of the box, it's harder to measure when you move to an account-based approach. So you need to figure out how you plan to measure success. The last thing, probably second most important, but I'll talk about this here in a moment of why I actually don't focus on it as the starter program. Is targeting. And that's super weird for an ABM guy to not talk about targeting as like the number one thing, but I actually don't think it's the most important thing in your first ABM program. We'll talk about that as a process. But if you're going after the wrong people, it doesn't really matter what else you're doing because these people aren't right fit buyers. Why are you doing it? So again, at the end of the day, if you can address those four things, those are like 80% of the reasons ABM programs fail very standardly. There's 20% that are random nuances for your organization. And I can't be that prescriptive because I don't know who you are, listener. Right. But I can tell you those 80% of reasons. And hopefully if you address those first, you'll be more successful down the road.
Is there a particular order that you try to tackle those four in?
That order.
That particular order. Okay.
And so first, if you can't get sales and marketing on the same page around the idea of even doing a program together, the rest of it doesn't matter. Yep. So that's the first step. Second step is, all right, great. We got marketing and sales aligned. Who's going to do it? And the resources issue is a very solvable issue. We just have to talk internally and say we're going to take these things away from Susie, or we're going to go hire a contractor, or we're going to go hire an agency, or those are your options really. We're going to hire a person, we're going to hire a freelancer, we're going to hire an agency, or we're going to stop doing other things so we can make room for this thing. That's it. So pick one and then go. Yep. So that's how you solve the resourcing issue. And then through that, you just need to create clear measurement of success based on your current capabilities. So for me to say go build an account scoring model, I had somebody on my podcast and I teased him to this day, cause I was you were on the Scrappy ABM podcast. What were you thinking? And he was step one for building an engagement model is go talk to your data science team. And I was come on, man, Scrappy, what are you doing? So I teased him and I teased him relentlessly, and I won't name his name. You have to go listen to a whole podcast to figure out which of the 120 episodes that came from. But if you can track on-page engagement for accounts, or another one that I've seen a lot of people talk about, which I think is a brilliant measurement of success capability, is net new contacts within a specific time frame of your target accounts. Mm-hmm. That is a measure of account level awareness and engagement. That is, we are expanding our reach within this account. And that's a duct tape version of an engagement model that anybody can go and build with a basic HubSpot instance or a Salesforce instance. So again, just figuring out this is gonna be busted and it's not gonna be perfect. But the other option is we can go invest $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 in an unproven program and get locked in maybe into a three-year contract just to get started. I'd rather not do that. I'd rather say this is gonna be not perfect, but it's directionally correct given our current tooling and technology. And once we validate that this model works, we can go invest in the right tooling and technology and whatever. But directionally, how do you measure success? And then the last reason on targeting, and I want to actually talk about this last, we'll talk about the process, is to develop an account progression model. And the idea of the account progression model is, how do you target the right fit accounts and using a progression model, identify right person, right time, right message. That's the idea of the account progression model. Many, many people, when they think about an ABM program, will develop this perfect ICP, and then they'll go to a Zoom Info or a Sales Intel or a whatever data enrichment platform, and they'll say, great, let me go put in my perfect criteria and then pull my list. And now I'm going to target this account list for a quarter, expecting that these people will come into our pipeline. When if you went to a data enrichment platform, they may or may not know that you exist.
Right.
So you're starting from ground zero, expecting in 3 months that they will go from, I've never heard of you, to I'm going to spend $100,000 with you. It's not realistic. So when I think about the first ABM program, the goal is actually more progression than accounts. And what I mean by that is, can you intentionally go after set account list, ideally party data, and intentionally progress them from one stage to the next? If you can do that, you know that you have a model for account progression that works. And then what you end up doing is getting more specific and targeted with right fit accounts as the next program. I want to be super clear. You're not targeting garbage. If you have a bunch of bad fit people in your database and you're let me just account for anybody, that's not the right answer either. But the goal is, in our first party engagement data, in our first party data, how do I find good fit people and progress them at all? And I went after this company and I wanted them to do these things and they did it. For a lot of people, that's never happened.
Right.
So if you start there, you then know that these right distribution channels and these right content assets are progressing accounts when they reach this specific stage. Great. Now that we've proven this model, how do we go after different right fit, better fit targets as the next iteration of the program? So again, that's kind of the thought process. We'll talk a lot more about account progression here in just a moment.
I love that. That's such a unique way to do it. And I mean, maybe that's why you're as successful as you have been, where it's I think most organizations will take that 3-month mindset and be no, we're going to close all these deals with these perfect candidates. or, you know, perfect targets. And the reality is, like, yeah, if no one's heard of you, if they don't know you exist, if they don't know what you offer, like, just get on their radar.
Yeah.
You know, like, just like make sure that they know that you're there. Like, don't, you're not going to ask someone out if they don't know you exist. And that's exactly what the hope is. So I think this is a really cool way of approaching it. And especially where it's like, if you do it in the scrappy manner that you're describing without that data science team, you know, it's like you may not even be in a position to close all those deals, right? You, like, it's great that you have this idea of what you're going after and who these target accounts might be, but like you talked about alignment and resourcing and measurement and all these things, but like you may not actually be prepared because you're learning, because you're figuring it out, like to close the deal. So
yes,
at least get on these people's radar, make sure that they know that you exist, make sure they know what you offer, and put yourself and the rest of your organization in this place where you're ready now. Now, you know, okay, they know we exist. They know what we do. They know who we're for, which is them. We're for them. And now we can make this thing happen. Like it's just, yeah. It's not biting off more than you can chew, which I love.
No. The other thing is it stacks the deck in your favor because everything about ABM is an experiment. So if you actually look at, okay, we know that these people are in our database and we can track them because we've already been doing it, just unintentionally. Like we're not intentionally progressing them through any kind of a program or a cadence. We've just like been shotgunning out a bunch of content and hoping that they serendipitously will book a call. Like, I know we've cleared that does happen. Like I'm not, but there's not intentionality.
It's not a strategy.
This account, I want them to, yeah, it's kind of like a good vibes and prayers type approach, which is fine. Works for a lot of people. All that to say, as I think through it, when you start with first party data and existing channels and you start with good content that like you already likely have a lot of good content and you start with a lot of how you currently measure success in your tracking capabilities and you structure it differently and now it has intentionality in every step of the journey, that's enough for like phase one. And then once you've done it, you're like, oh, well, these were holes. These things were hard. This didn't work. Now, instead of, because I have people come inbound that will book a call and we'll just say, yeah, our problem is we don't have an ABM program. Like, that's not a problem. Like, that is not a problem. So a lot of people will just think like, I need to build an ABM program. And again, if you start with just basics and what you have today, when you go to solve the problems in your now existing ABM program, it's like, at this stage of the program, we don't have effective tracking that progresses the accounts from the next stage. Yeah. Great. Do we need a better process? Do we need different tooling and technologies? Do we not have the right content in this place that actually engages? Maybe we are tracking it effectively and nobody's engaging. And then there's nothing going on in the dashboard because there's nothing happening. Like, but again, for a lot of people, they just start with this amorphous idea of like, we need an ABM program. And that's the problem. So they go invest a bunch of crap that they don't know how to use because they never had anything to actually measure it up against. So just start, like, yeah. And we'll talk through exactly how to start. So,
yes,
account progression models. All right, here's the account progression model that everyone needs to know about. There are like seven stages, and you can find me on this. I think every buyer goes through every stage: awareness, initial engagement, meaningful engagement, marketing qualified account, sales qualified account, opportunity, re-engagement. That's it. And I'll define those more clearly. Awareness. Does someone know that you exist? Yes or no? Initial engagement. Do they viably have a problem that you could potentially solve? Meaningful engagement. Are they exploring viable solutions to the problem that you solve? Marketing qualified account. Do they understand that you are a unique, viable solution for them based on the problem that you can viably solve? Sales qualified account. Do they have the money to solve it? And is it a big enough problem that they want to solve it right now? And I want to be super clear on that sales qualified account. This is not a qualification based on firmographics or like targeting necessarily. Like, again, that should have been done earlier. They even entered into the program. But like, is this a good time? Do they have the money to do it? I've talked to plenty of great fit companies that did not have the money to do anything about it. Bad fit customer. Opportunity. Great. They entered into the pipeline. How do we accelerate that to actually close the deal? And then re-engagement. This is one that I'm realizing more and more is like a huge miss because companies will do the quarter-long program. And the goal of re-engagement is how to keep these people engaged for when it is the right time.
Yeah.
So like lots and lots of people build ABM programs. They run them for a quarter and they drop the accounts. And it's like you did 80% of the work already. Like you went from they didn't know that you existed to now like on your website looking at product pages and then you stopped? You psychopath. Why do you hate pain? Like, you did almost all of the work. Just keep them engaged. So again, from that perspective, what is the ongoing re-engagement program that focuses specifically on, they're not ready right now, but like, how do we stay top of mind? And when they're ready, they'll re-engage in a more meaningful way.
That does look painful.
Yeah.
No, it's just like, it's just the idea to do all that work and then lose it right at the finish line is rough. You know, and it's like, oh, it happens, right? Like you work deals, you lose deals, but like to lose a deal because of your own kind of like lack of follow through because it's not the right time, like that, I feel like that's way worse than we went with someone else. You know what I mean? Like at least like you did everything you could up until that point and it's done. Here it's like it's open-ended and you just kind of drop the ball. Also, this seven step kind of like process, it just I just see the t-shirt where it's like, you remember that like Game of Thrones and it was like Arya and Bran and Jon, like it's the same thing. Like you need one of those.
Oh my gosh. Scrappy ABM t-shirts.
Oh, come on. You know you're about that swag. Like you've got to do it.
Yeah.
So you know, we could take this conversation, I guess, in a couple of different ways. And I'm not going to try to steal the thunder of that two and a half hour version on User Gems, because that must be amazing. And I'm going to have to check that out after this as well. But like, you know, so we figured out the account progression model, or we've gone through it, right? Like, people are aware of you. Yeah. People have hopefully taken some meaningful action, or you've provided meaningful action. You know that they've got the money now, which is good. What, like, where do you go from here? What in your mind is most relevant in terms of like, you know, I know even like going from step one to step two to step three, like there's things within that. Like, do you want to dig into that, or would it be more beneficial to kind of talk about like, you know, you've got the opportunity now, what, like, you know, you're the pro here, and I'd love to.
There's, as far as getting started, there's three more steps from here. So like, once you've actually built the account progression model and you're like, okay, this is how we clearly define for us what it means that somebody is aware. Mm-hmm. Like the thing that I recommend people do, and like the basics of this can be truly be done in like an hour, is one of those things where I had a boss at one point that was like, you're just making this so complicated. Like, take out a sheet of paper, you get 1 hour, set a timer, build a strategy. Like, doesn't need to be detailed, but just like directionally, what are we doing? It's a very helpful exercise for people that are like all over the place. So anyway, when you map out the account progression model of awareness, initial engagement, meaningful engagement, marketing qualified account, sales qualified account, opportunity, and re-engagement, those are seven steps. What are you doing right now? And then align what you're doing right now to one of those stages. So like, for example, SEO, probably for most people, awareness and initial engagement stages. Great. So like a webinar program, okay, probably more that meaningful engagement or initial engagement stage, depending on the kind of webinar strategy that you run. Awesome. Product page, pricing page, schedule, call page, case study, use case content. That sounds like probably marketing qualified account, because they now understand uniquely how we are a viable solution. Awesome. They like booked a meeting, sales qualified account. And like now they're in the actual sales process. That's an opportunity. So like, really meaningful engagement, marketing qualified account, sales qualified account, opportunity, those are all fairly standard. It's like, did they look at our product pages on our website for like an extended period of time? Great. We know that they at least understand, hopefully, if we do a good job of explaining our product, how we could be viably a unique product for them. If they book a meeting and then they actually make it through sales qualification, sales qualified account, that enters into the pipeline as an opportunity. Those are very standard. The parts are like, how do we generate awareness? Like, how do we viably measure that people know that we exist? And like, really basic program for me, connection request on LinkedIn. If someone has connected me on LinkedIn, I can measurably know that they know that we exist. That's it. Super simple. Next. All right. Now I want to get them engaged in our content. So for us, initial engagement is like newsletters. We do LinkedIn lives and LinkedIn events, and we invite people to those events. And like, I go to a lot of events and people scan QR codes and they like opt in. So like events, live events on LinkedIn, and like newsletter subscribers, all of those initial engagement, because you can measurably know. I've done a really decent job of like saying like, this is who I am and what I do. All I do is I talk about account-based marketing, occasionally a brisket and my daughter. That is like the extent of my content strategy. So if you're following me, you probably want to learn more about how to build an ABM program. And if you're on my newsletter and you actually engage in a lot of content, you're probably trying to figure it out right now. So like, I know that you viably have a problem and I can measure that. Then what we end up doing is focused on what I refer to as viable next step content. So like, based on the past content that they've engaged with, we actually send specific content assets they may have missed. And what that does is it actually creates a better one-to-one relationship. And now I've actually started to have people, which this is super neat, like really cool measure of success. It's very hard to actually like measure in practice, but like newsletter replies, I've had people reply to my newsletter with questions. I'm like, this is amazing. And like, yeah. I then start a one-to-one conversation with somebody based on a newsletter. I'm like, this is sweet. And they're all right fit customers, which is awesome. So like all of that in my mind, that's all meaningful engagement. They have gone from, I have a problem and I'm looking for a viable solution to like, they're getting more acquainted and they're exploring different options. And man, they really like us. Like they're asking us direct questions on how to solve their problems. So like all of that in my mind, meaningful engagement. So as I just outlined that, that's how we do it. But again, what did I just outline? We were already on LinkedIn because I've been on LinkedIn for like 4 or 5 years. So already doing a podcast that was a lot of content. And we launched a newsletter, and we specifically launched a newsletter because we actually were lacking initial engagement connection points outside of events. And like events are a very heavy lift. So when you map out your current programs up against your account progression model, you might pretty quickly and easily find like, that's a gap. We don't have anything that connects people from awareness to meaningful engagement because we're missing entire initial engagement type programming. We don't talk enough about the problem in a way that's measurable. Great. Now we know what to go solve for. Yep. So that's the upfront of like, when you actually map your current programs up against the account progression model, you will find a gap that's like, we don't do anything here. That probably means that we suck. Thing that's been really interesting for larger organizations is they've actually started to use this as a filtering criteria of what's actually important. Mm-hmm. Because if they're not doing something that aligns directly to any of these stages, these are not crazy stages. It's like very basic stuff. So if they're just doing stuff and they have no measurement of success or ability to replicate it, they're like, this probably isn't worth it.
Yeah.
This is probably a waste of time, energy, and money. And I didn't think about it in that way because I primarily work with like under-resourced organizations, but our over-resourced organizations are probably like, yeah, we're probably doing too many things. We should probably like slim it down. So anyway, that's the next step is like map your current programs up against the account progression model and then identify where your current gaps are.
I love this. Like this is, I've done a number of these now, and this is one of the most like tactical, tangible pieces I think that's come out from all these conversations. And like, I think in a lot of processes, a lot of new programs, a lot of things that people are trying to build, and it's like we're starting from scratch. We, you know, blow up whatever it is that we were doing. It's not clearly it's not working. And here you're just like, no, look at the activities that you're taking on a day, you know, day in and day out basis. Look at what's working, what isn't working, and map it to these 7 steps and see where your gaps are. And like all of a sudden it's, you know, it becomes so much less daunting, so much less intimidating, right? Like when you look at that, you look at a list of 7 things, regardless of what it is, you go, that's a lot of steps. And now it's like, actually, no, well, within the last hour, I realized that like 5 out of 7 of these are covered. And now I need to focus on these 2. And now 2 is a lot more approachable than 7. So it's just, it's a really clever way. And I mean, like there's always going to be room for improvement within those areas where you're already doing things, right? Like you're saying, you know, you're getting, you started the newsletter, now you're getting newsletter responses, you're using that to start conversations. Like that wasn't a thing that was there, but now it's a thing that is, and it's become part of it. So like, it's really like clever way to say, don't just start from scratch. You're already probably doing things that are worth it. Just organize them in the right way.
Yeah. So that's exactly how I think through it is like everything works. And I love that phrase. Cause like, the comments of like email is dead or outbound is dead or SEO is dead. It's like, not really. Like maybe it's less effective for sure, but like actually everything works given the right audience and the right structure. So like if you're going after the right people and this is where they live and you put it in the appropriate context. Now, if you're planning that top of funnel long tail keyword SEO is going to be your main revenue driving strategy, probably not. But if the goal is I want people to know that we exist and then for them to get so much value from this very niche topic that we took the time to address that they opt in for our other stuff and that's the goal, that works like very feasibly. So that's how I think through it. It's just like, what are we doing right now? How do we structure it? And then where do we find our gaps? The next stage is then every single one of these programs or playbooks should have four components. And this is where we get really nerdy. It's a 4D framework. So the 4Ds are data, distribution, destination, and direction. Data is the most complex. And it actually breaks down into another nice little acronym, or not acronym, but like it's data is two T's. So data is targets. So who are we going after? Married with triggers, which is why are we reaching out? So again, I see this happen a lot of like industry-specific ABM programs. So we'll pull like, I don't know, Fortune 5000, or we'll say like specifically SaaS in the Fortune 5000. To be clear, this is, or I did Inc. 5000 SaaS companies as my first ABM program, which totally bombed. And we then just said the same thing to all of these people. And we're like, you're a rapidly growing company in the SaaS space. You should book a meeting. Like, that's so dumb. That's a very bad trigger. Whereas, hey, you're a rapidly growing company in the SaaS space. You just won an award. I'm sure 1,000 people are outbounding to you right now. We actually wanted to interview you on our podcast to see how you did it. Interesting. I'd like to be interviewed on how amazing I am. Great. Book. Now we've aligned the reason we're reaching out with a viable next step. So again, data is targets, the right fit people, married with triggers, why we're reaching out. And that creates context and nuance so you can nuance your messaging appropriately. So that's data, most complex. Next is in distribution. There are so many channels, but there's only so many channels. So I think people get overwhelmed by this, which is actually really easy. It's like, is it email? Is it an ad program on a specific platform? Is it in person? Is it mail? Like you could actually feel like I actually did an experiment to kind of figure out like how many different distribution channels are there. It's like 40-ish. Like it's more from a category perspective. Now, if you go the community route, for example, like there's tons and tons of communities. But like if you think about it categorically, there's like 30 to 40 categories, arguably. So again, you just figure out your distribution channels. Like how you get in front of these people. Next is in destination, which is just what are we sending them to? So like based on the reason you're reaching out, that creates a clear next step. So the destination is your next step. So that's the content. That's the information. Probably not a book a meeting, to be quite frank, but it might be if it's way, way, way later stage. The last thing is direction. Direction is just how do we track it? It's like if you can marry all these things together, you now have a repeatable process that you can run with ongoing. So the goal is that once you've married the account progression models to your current programs, then you've identified like we don't have something here. Now you break it down even further into the 4D framework and you should have a 4Ds at every single stage for every single program. That's where it gets really nerdy and really tactical and really granular. But the reason this is so important is specifically you can identify content gaps and you can identify operational gaps of like, oh, we want to use LinkedIn, but like we don't know how to activate that channel given our current data stack or tech stack. Great. We can solve for that. Or the last thing that's a big problem for a lot of people, direction. They don't have to track anything. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, direction is really important because we want to know if we're having success at this stage of the program. That's why I think so many marketers default to like the quote unquote right answer of like, we measure on pipeline. It's well, maybe you don't have to know, you don't really know how to measure anything else. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
maybe we don't know how to actually progress accounts. And I'll be super clear. I very publicly talk about like marketing should have a pipeline goal. I actually think marketing and ABM programs should have a revenue goal, but like we also need to measure how to progress accounts because that actually creates the ability to forecast down the road. Short, direction is super important. Additionally, direction functions as the trigger of the next play. Yeah. So to connect your playbooks or your programs together, an awareness level direction should function as a component of the initial engagement trigger because then you know that they accomplished the awareness level stage and they should move on to the initial engagement stage. That is the really nerdy part. And once you've done all of that, you'll now have a new set of gaps to fill and to figure out. But what I just outlined is way better than the alternative, which is I don't know how to do ABM. Let me go buy something from somebody or a tool that will be my silver bullet. I say this a lot. Even if you work with us, it's still hard work. Like I can't change sales comp. I can advise on it. I can talk you through it, but somebody's got to change the numbers. And like that's organizational change. And you can make me the bad guy, but at the end of the day, I'm not in your one-on-ones where you got to explain that to your sales team. Yeah. So like there's still a lot of work, even if you come work with us. So no one is coming to save you. Not even me. I'll do my best to help you through the process, but like I can't save you. You still got to do the work. So again, I like this approach first, like map it out and be like, man, these are the gaps, but like I know what to go solve versus I don't have an ABM program and that sucks, so I should go build an ABM program. I don't know what that means. And I run an ABM business. But if you're like, hey, here are the things that we have problems with that we should go fill and fix, I can help you with that.
So there's, I don't know if you know this, but I was an engineer in my previous life, like before getting into like marketing and brand and creative leadership. Like I was an engineer.
I'm so sorry you got here.
I honestly, like it's a weird path, and that's a conversation for a different day. But like one of the biggest lessons that I ever learned that I still apply on a day-to-day basis is like, there's no such thing as one problem. It's, you have to break it down into small problems that are like digestible. And like what you're describing here is exactly that, where it's like, it's really easy to just go into it. Like, we need an ABM program. And like, it's this like big nebulous problem. But like, when you talk about it, and like, actually there are these seven stages that you need to think about. And then within each of these seven stages, they're kind of like, you know, there's this 4D framework and four steps to think about. So now you've gone from one problem, one big problem, to like 28 little problems in a way. And that's a really, I think it's a much more manageable way to approach it, rather than just like this, like, again, this nebulous single goal that isn't actually a real thing at all. It's all of the underlying pieces that go into it.
Yeah. And I want to be super clear. Like, this still sucks. Like, there's no way around it. Yeah. This is hard. Like, of course it's hard. It's still organizational change, but man, it's worth it. Like, if you actually do it right, what you'll see from ABM program improvements from a metrics perspective is like those that actually succeed across the board see an increase in metrics of like 70%, like pipeline growth, deal velocity, sales team satisfaction. The challenge is only 22% of marketers that tried to build ABM programs had programs that were deemed successful. And that's a statistic from 2023. Another statistic, just for fun fact for everybody, I'll do a quick data dump. 94% of B2B marketers, according to Terminus, were building ABM programs in 2020. So when I look at that, 2020, like 94% of us were trying to build it. 2023, 22% were deemed successful. Then it's like 1 in 5 failed.
Yeah.
So like, it's worth it. It's just super hard and it sucks. And it takes more time than anyone would like it to take. But when you do it well, it works. And like, it's hard to argue with.
Yeah.
Right fit buyers, marketing and sales working together, closing best fit customers that stay for longer because they're happier because you just sold them on the right promise. Like, it's hard to argue with. It just takes a lot of time.
Yeah. You got to do the work. Just like with anything, you got to do the work. So once we've outlined the 4D framework, do we just print money or how did it?
Like, this is the part where people are like, so what comes next?
Yeah.
Do it. Like, I just outlined how to get really granular mm-hmm. on like a lot. And I just walked through how do you go from I had an ABM program to now I have an outline of a program that's based on our current processes and current programs. And I have an understanding of the outline of every component of those programs at every stage. And I know now I have a data problem, I have a distribution problem, I have a destination problem, or I have a direction problem at this stage. Go fix it. What that looks like, no idea. I don't know who you are. But I know that that's the next step. So like that, and admittedly, that process takes like 6 weeks. Like, it's to get to this end state, it's like half a quarter. But once you've done that work, you now have a clear game plan. Like, most people don't have a game plan. They're just like, I'm going to go build an ABM program. And they just start throwing stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks. So again, what I just outlined, that's the process. And then I hate to say it that way, but like, that is the next step. Solve for the constraints in the business that are preventing you from growing further. For some clients that we work with, I have one person that like came with a 4% close rate on their sales pipeline. I'm like, we're not fixing anything else until that close rate is better. We got to diagnose why you're at 4%. Because it doesn't matter how much I bring into the pipeline. If we're only closing at 4%, we're burning 96% of our viable audience. What a waste. So that was the first problem. Other people are like, yeah, we close like 70%. I'm like, you don't have enough pipeline. You don't have enough people saying no. What is wrong? Like, so then we got to go get more pipeline. So like, but like, next, go fix the problems that you've outlined based on your account progression model and the 4D framework.
I love it. All right. Last question, then I'm going to let you go. What's next? Like, where can people see this process in action?
I've talked on this topic from literally 120 different angles on the Scrappy ABM podcast. So go check that out. If you don't like listening and you like reading instead, scrappyabm.com/newsletter. And then the last one, certainly not least, just go follow me on LinkedIn. Again, talk about this, talk about brisket on occasion. And I also talk to my daughter, who's objectively the cutest baby girl in the world. So those are the three things I talk about, if that's of interest for you.
Can verify LinkedIn is awesome. Can verify baby's adorable. I'm super pumped on the brisket. Mason, this was awesome. Thank you so much. Super grateful. Seriously, people, give Mason a follow. You will not be disappointed. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.